does right now is teaching in this church is incredible. Whether it's Sunday morning or Anthony's presentation today or Wednesday night, thank you for today. We are going to change gears right now. You know, you guys all know that, you know, you look at that here, and it's our church, minus the wives. And we all know that wives are a little bit different than guys. They're a little more relational. They communicate better than us. And there's a million books out there explaining that. You know, guys could be sitting at a table with eight guys. If it wasn't for the name tag, you wouldn't know the guy's name next to you, probably.
Right.
You know, that's how we do things, you know. Probably about 20 years ago, I was reading this book, one of those guy-girl books, you know, how we're different kind of thing. I'm not sure I threw that book away. But one thing they said in the book is that if a girl calls another girl and says, let's go out for lunch, they don't even think twice about it. They'll do it. They'll get together and they'll sit at a restaurant for like 3-4 hours and just talk. I mean, that sounds like torture to me, to be honest with you. But they said if a guy calls a guy up and says, let's go out for lunch, the first thing the other guy will say is, what's wrong? There must be a reason for this meeting. And when I read that book, I said, we can't be that simple. My dear friend Steve Anker, you know, he worked about a mile from me, so I said, I'm going to test this theory out, see if it really works. So I called Steve up. I said, there's a restaurant across the street from your work. I said, any chance we can get together for lunch? And there's quiet on the other end of the phone. And finally Steve says, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll do that. And I go, yes, you know. And I thought to myself, this book is right. I think I threw the book away at that point. So we go to this restaurant, and you know, the waitress takes our orders, and we're sitting there, and Steve looks at me, and he says, so, Jack, what's wrong? And I just looked at him and said, you know, I've gone fishing with this guy before, and we'll sit on a boat for 4 hours and catching fish and having a great time, and I'll come home. And Linda said, how's the fishing? And I said, oh, it was great. And I tell her about the fish we caught, and she said, what's new in Mike's life? And I looked at her and I said, what do you mean? She said, what are you guys talking about? I said, well, we're talking about fishing. We're talking about the fish we caught, and the fish were going to catch. We got a contest going, who catches the most fish? You know, I wasn't prepared for that question. So this activities we're going to do now is to help us out, so we can go home at the end of this retreat, and the wife say, "Hey, what did you learn?" And say, "Well, I don't know what I learned, but I met this guy who's really, you know, we're going to teach you guys how to communicate." And we got our cheat cards here because we need our cheat cards, and we're going to get you guys involved in a second. We're going to have a dialogue here between the two of us and just show you how it's done. There's one thing. Everything we say is going to be absolutely truthful, except I'm going to tell one lie, and Mike's going to tell one lie. Something that did not happen in our past. And your job is to figure out which one of these things is not true. All right? But through this process, you'll get to know us better than you want to know. I think, Mike, you got my first question.
Well, I got the first question here. So, Jack, you were like a professional football player when you were younger.
Yeah, like professional. In my mind, I was a professional football player. You know, I played in Detroit Public Schools, Detroit Redford High School. And in high school, I was actually pretty good. I got honors. I was all-city and honorable mention all-state. And I got scholarships to college, and I played 2 years of college ball. And I met with my counselor. She said, what do you want to do? I said, I'm doing it. I'm going to play football. You know, I was going to do something with my career in football. And the first practice, I realized I wasn't as good as I thought I was. But if you asked me how good I was, I would have told you. That's the kind of guy I was back in those days. And where's I going with this?
you ended up then going to...
Oh, yeah. I switched gears from phys ed. And I'm telling you, if you want to take a major in college for the young guys here, phys ed is the way to go. I switched from phys ed to pre-med. And that was tough. And then I ended up being a podiatrist for 43 years. and I retired 6 years ago, but that's my history, my third life. You were, my question for you is, you were like a race car driver, weren't you?
Sort of. So, talk about college. I mean, I went to college to play baseball and ended up coming out with an engineering degree. And I wasn't as good a baseball player as I thought I was. But anyway, for 40 years, I was a ride handling development engineer. And as part of doing that, I had to drive high speed on different tracks and racetracks. So early on, I went through training through many driver schools and racing schools. And then for 40 years, I tested cars and did tire development at different racetracks and high speed. And I often thought that maybe I should have been a race car driver and not a development engineer. But it turned out I was a good development engineer.
You played baseball in college.
I played baseball in college.
And your claim to fame was what?
My claim to fame was I hit one home run in college, and it was a grand slam to beat Wayne State. So, Jack, what's the story about you marrying the same woman twice?
Now, here's a story. This is a good story. Do you want to go back a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
We've been married for 49 years, so when I married her twice worked for us. I met her my last year of podiatry school over an ingrown nail. And, you know, obviously I was attracted to her because she's the most beautiful girl. She is the most beautiful girl in the world.
There you go.
But there was something different about her. And I was just trying to figure out what made her tick. So, you know, I had something to offer on the table here too, you know, but she kept turning me down. She turned me down 5 times before she said yes. And the only way I got her to go out with me is I tricked her, and that's a long and different story. We had 5 dates before we got married. And those 5 dates were Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. The first day, I'm not going to throw out a date, but the first day is we went to my graduation dinner dance from medical school in Chicago, and I was leaving in a week to come here to my residency program. So I knew that there's not going to be a long-term relationship. I was trying to show her off to all my classmates. You know, so that's my thinking of things like that. And we ended up sitting down at Lake Michigan after this thing was over until 5 o'clock in the morning, just talking. And she was sharing her life with me. And the reason she had that joy and love in her life is because of her relationship with Jesus Christ, which I did not have. I mean, you couldn't be any further away than I was at that point. I was thinking at that point, how am I going to get this beautiful girl to allow me to kiss her on that first date, because I'm not going to see her again. That's my thinking like that. And actually what I did at the time, and it worked, is I asked permission, and I threw out every biblical word I could think of. I first started with God and then Jesus, and I threw in Moses because I saw the Ten Commandments. And I actually mentioned, do I have to ask Moody Bible Institute, because that was right down the street from where I was living at the time, you know? But anyways, that ended up the first of 5 dates. And then I left to come here, and I thought it was over. But as you know, if you really love somebody, or you think you love somebody, when you're apart, it's really difficult. So we started communicating and writing letters and things like that. And I came back to visit, and when I visited her, I told her, I've never said this to a person before, but I told her I loved her. And she said, I've never said that to a guy. And I said, you still haven't. But at the time I told her, I said, this relationship is going nowhere because we're in two different paths. You're on a path based on your faith. I'm on a path based on my accomplishments and what I want to accomplish in life. And I asked her at the time, I said, what would it take for me to have the faith that you have? Now, be honest with you, if she said, you pray a prayer, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would have done it in a second. It would have meant absolutely nothing to me whatsoever, but I would have done it just so I could continue the relationship, but she didn't do that. She said to me, she said, you know, you have to get to know who Jesus is. And she gave me a living New Testament. She gave me C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, and she said, and find a good church. But she, and, you know, 2 months later, I was at the point where I believed all this stuff to be true, but it had nothing to do with my life whatsoever, you know. And I got saved about 2 months after that by watching Billy Graham on TV. And I realized who I was and who God was. I prayed to receive him as my Savior, and then we continued a relationship from that point on, because during that period of time, we were not communicating, we were not writing letters. I said, I don't want to do this because of you. I want to do this because it's what I need in my life. And our next date, actually, we visited a couple of times, but our actual official next date, we eloped and got married. And elopement is...
So that was the first time you got married?
That was the first time.
Well, that's a, yeah, that was the question.
I flew into Chicago because I don't have two cars there, obviously, because I'm living here in Detroit. And we were supposed to get married on Tuesday. I said, well, why wait until Tuesday? What we can do on Monday? And we're getting married at her brother's house. And so Monday morning, we went downtown Chicago to get our marriage license, and we realized we were in the wrong county. And we didn't have time to get the right license. And she said, we'll make it work. So we got the wrong license. We got married at her brother's house. And on the way to the restaurant, which we were meeting her family, we stopped at the pastor's house and he married us the second time. So top pastor.
So as we were talking and planning this, we were with our wives doing this, and my wife says, oh, you can top that. Don't you remember the day we got married? And I says, I remember the day we got married. And she says, yeah. She says, I was getting ready to walk down the aisle with my father. I felt so beautiful. I was excited to get married. And as I start walking down the aisle, she looks up at me. Now, we're not believers at this time at all. So she looks up at me, and I'm as nervous as can be. And she says, the first thing that went through her mind is, he's going to pass out. He isn't going to make it. So she comes down the aisle, and I come over, and she says, are you going to faint? And I says, I think so. So at that point, they got two chairs and brought them in. So we could, because my knees were like rubber, trying to stand. And so we actually got married, took our vows sitting down. That's not that or not.
How about briefly telling your come to Jesus story? You weren't saved at that point.
No, it's a long story, but I was working at Ford doing the test driving and being crazy and living on the road a lot, way too much. And was with a group of guys in the department I was in that were quite the troublemakers, if you will. Mm-hmm. They had girlfriends in every town we went, and they were drinkers, and I was gone a lot. And basically, after 4 years of this, it was going to come down to either I'm going to be dead or I'm going to be divorced. Mm-hmm. And so I left Ford and took a job I took a short stint at Chrysler, and I went to GM. And at GM, I went to work for a manager that happened to be a Christian. And during part of the development, we'd ship our cars to Arizona in the wintertime and we'd do our testing out there. And he said one day, he says, hey, airfare's cheap. Let's take our wives to Arizona. And I went, what? Why would we take our wives on a business trip to Arizona? Something wrong here. Long story short, we took our wives. We hung around with his wife at the pool, and Denise took her best friends, and her family went down with us, and they were Christians, and there was all this conversation around the pool, and Denise kept saying, oh man, whatever it is they have, I want it. I don't know what it is. But then we get back to Detroit, and my boss starts saying, hey, you need to come to church with us. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to church with my boss. Then I found out it was a Baptist church. It's like the last thing I'm gonna do. And Denise actually went to church for probably a month or two before I stepped foot in that church. And then eventually went and come to know the Lord. But it's a quick story.
This question.
Yeah, so Jack. I heard you were an entertainer.
High school. Actually, before high school, I played the piano. I played for like 5 years, and I was absolutely awful at it, but my parents made me do it. But I can play the piano. But the way I really enjoyed that bit is I actually enjoyed to sing. And I tried out for a school play, and I actually got it as a musical, and I got one of the good parts in the play. I get to do a solo. And but I turned it down because I said, I don't have time for this because I was involved in all these sports at the time. But I got them to allow me to sing my solo, and then did that for 2 years in high school. But besides that, back in that day, this is during high school years, I was involved in an Armenian ethnic youth dance. Group is a group dance group. There's 8 of us, 4 guys and 4 girls. We actually performed in Detroit. Can you picture a 240-pound football player wearing tights with lousy sleeves or something on my head, I mean, you know, this kind of stuff like that. We did that for 6-7 times, and I'm not making that one up, guys. And there's actually a video out there that I hope it never surfaces. But I have on my thing here that you're into skiing, and I didn't know that.
During high school, I liked to ski and play basketball, so when I wasn't, I mean, I played baseball, that was the big thing, but during the winter I did skiing and basketball. And so when I didn't have games or practices on the weekend, we'd go skiing, like up at Pine Knot, nothing real big, but just a little downhill skiing.
You still do that?
No. I think your next question will answer that.
That's all right. My next question is,
the next question is, you're 74 years old, Jack, and you've had a few injuries.
Yeah, well, even if you play football, you're going to get a few injuries. But actually, I have absolutely no vision for right eye, which is really nice because I can't see him. Which means if I'm in the shopping mall, I never turn to the right because I'm going to run over some person all the time. But it has nothing to do with an injury. But because of football, before I was 25 years old, I had 9 root canals done. Not because I had bad teeth, but the dentist said because you kept getting hit in the head all the time. So 9 root canals before you're 25.
That explains a lot, though, doesn't it?
And I had a fusion in my neck, and there was a football injury, too. But my claim to fame, this is a good one, I broke my nose actually 5 times. I thought it was 4, but it was 5 times. 4 times in high school. First time football, then basketball, then hockey, and then baseball. I broke it 4 times, and I had surgery each time I did it. But the last time was the best. The last time when I was in my 40s, I broke my nose, and it was the worst break in a food fight.
Oh.
The thing about that, Steve and Julie Banker were there at that food fight. They were not responsible for my broken nose, but they went with us to the hospital because I was going to need surgery. My nose was literally sideways. It was really bad. So we're going in there.
We want to hear about the food fight.
I can't leave my table talking about the food fight. But Julie had 2 great lines in this thing. When we're talking to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, we're going to have to do surgery, but we can't do it now because your nose is too swollen. And Julie said to the doctor, I don't know if you know how big his nose is. But as we're leaving, we scheduled surgery about 3 days later. As we're leaving the hospital, Julie said, I want you guys to know there's absolutely no alcohol at this party, which means we acted that way when we're sober. That's my story. And you are a bionic person here.
he thinks I'm bionic just because I've had 9 surgeries and have an artificial hip, but I've had Achilles, knees, hip, appendix, and last year I think I set a record with 3 hernia operations. So it seems like my wife says any more operations and you might be done here.
I need to find the other friends to be done.
The question for you guys is, which one of these stories that we both told is not true? Anyone figure it out? Any guesses?
Race car driver.
But that wasn't part of the story. He just.
Oh, that's true. I did all that. Yeah. I've done just about anything and everything you can imagine in a truck or a car.
No, you don't ski.
You don't ski.
That's right. I've never seen it.
He's got half a man.
The food fight.
Food fight was real. So short story behind that is we had some church in Seattle, and this guy's a pastor, believe it or not, of a conservative Baptist church. And we always did crazy things together when he lived here. And we're going to redo our whole kitchen, so I set the whole kitchen up for a food fight, because that's the kind of things we did. And like the refrigerator was empty, but the mustard and the eggs were in the cabinet. And bankers were there at the time too. And as we finished dinner, I get up and I walk casually over to the cabinet to get eggs. I grab eggs from the cabinet, and this guy from Seattle realized something was wrong. He runs over, he slammed the cabinet door, and it hit my nose. Literally, my nose was sideways.
Here, I'll help you out. I've actually seen the video of the Armenian dancer.
Yeah. But the singing.
The singing, for sure. The singing. Yeah. I've had people in church turn around and smile at me.
It's a joy for
all right, so.